JD talking sports.
Yesterday I saw for the first time in New York City something I never saw before. Now, I've seen strollers, I've seen cats, I've seen dogs. I even think I saw a bird, but never a turtle. Yeah, yesterday, July 4th, I saw a turtle. A turtle in a stroller. And I trained Gumbochef this morning, and he goes, did she look kind of, you know, what'd she look like? I said, yeah, it was a young lady with her turtle, a little turtle, in a stroller. And it was a turtle because I saw a turtle. I looked in, head was stretched out. Now, Demaryius Thomas had a great run as a wide receiver out of Georgia Tech, had a tough home life where his mother and grandmother were both sent to prison because the mother wouldn't rat on the grandmother, on his grandmother, who was running a drug ring out of her house. And they actually both got pardoned by Obama. So his mother in this picture was actually able to see him live with his father. Now, it's kind of hard to see because I used to have the green screen and I lost the one I had, so I have this one. But this is after the Super Bowl win with his mom and dad. Now, he keeps scratching his head because he had a headache. He got a hit by Luke Kuechly during the game so bad that he couldn't enjoy the festivities after the game with his teammates. This is a guy who made $75 million during his career. In 2020, during the pandemic, he tried to get back in shape so he could play again. But he was having seizures, and they found out that he had the second level of CTE. Yeah, I want to make sure I get this right because I'm, you know, I want to, yeah, I read this stuff, and I read the article about him where he kind of disassociated himself with it, you know, kind of became reclusive and was erratic behavior and everything. He actually flipped his car once and he was with a friend and they said that all the hits from playing and everything saved their lives. He was doing 30 in his car. He had a seizure and flipped. They think he might have died from the seizure. They're not sure. But yeah, he had stage 2. Yeah. Yeah. Had CTE when he died. And this picture, his parents had made it into a painting that they have in their house. Yeah, he didn't feel so good and he didn't even finish celebrating anything like that. Yeah, he had stage 2 CTE, but that his life was all complicated by seizures brought on by a 2019 car crash. They attacked with little or no warning and led Thomas to wreck other cars and fall down steps. The Fulton County, Georgia, has not ruled on the cause of death, but doctors in Boston said he most likely died after a seizure. And Dr. Anna McKee, who worked at BU with the concussion, she works on concussions and everything, said the two conditions in parallel. She also worked in parallel, and they were not generally associated with CTE. But yeah. Just reading and his father went in deep depression because he didn't know how much pain he was in. He played through injuries when he was younger. Kids made fun of him because of his mom and his grandmother being in jail, but he excelled in all sports. Went to Georgia Tech, got drafted, I think, in the 2010 draft. And once Peyton came in, he had five 1,000-yard seasons in a row. In the 45-8 loss in the Super Bowl at MetLife, he had 12 catches, which at the time was the most catches by a wideout in a Super Bowl. Yeah, he was 237 yards short of 10,000, wanted to come back, couldn't. And they said that these hanger-ons were taking advantage of him at the end of his life. They stole money and stuff from his career, and they were able to get that back. But it's sad when you hear all this stuff. And he's 33 years old, and his life had taken a major downturn. I mean, this picture of him scratching his head that he was in, he couldn't even enjoy the festivities after the game. Scary. And they said, you know, his mom said, do your research about having your kids play football. She goes, we have a life because of football. But we also think about it. They don't have their son in their life. The life their son gave him playing football is no longer, the son is no longer around. And Domboshev sent me an article. I didn't know about this. This got published 6 days ago in the New York Times. There was a soccer player who played at Virginia and played in the MLS. Scott Vermillion, former college star, played 4 seasons in the MLS. He's the first professional soccer player with a public case of CTE. He'd become withdrawn. He died. His direct cause was acute alcohol and prescription drug poisoning. He was a high school and college All-American, played 4 seasons in the MLS. He had CTE, and he was, you know, he'd withdrawn from the family, which is crazy. Think about it. You know, you don't think of soccer, but all the head balls, all that stuff. Crazy. Yeah. Wow. Yes, she said soccer is clearly a risk for CTE, not as much as football, Amicki said, Dr. Amicki of the CTE Center at BU. Yeah. It brought a sense of clarity. It denied everything. It simply could not, given that CTE can be diagnosed only posthumously. It triggered feelings of doubt, guilt, anger, relief. Yeah, and he'd become withdrawn with his wife. Wow. Yeah, they talk about sledders, having, you know, a sled head. It's crazy. Yeah. And the concussions and all that stuff. And he was acting as, you know, and an ankle injury forced an early retirement in 2001. He tried to, you know, work in the family business. He tried to do some coaching. He went for nursing. Marriage failed. Yeah. Crazy. He began playing soccer when he was 5. Yeah, he was kept on the bench a lot as a child because he scored too many goals. He was a third-team All-American of Virginia's third junior year. He joined his local club, the Kansas City Wizards, now the Sporting Kansas City, in 1998 at age 21. He never really fully blossomed. His dad said his career earnings in the fledgling league were meager. His father called him making about $40,000 when he left the game. And it was a big blow. His dad said he spent all of his life climbing that hill, moving up, making himself a good player, and to abruptly have it end was tough. Yeah. And his ex-wife said that she noticed changes in him even before his career was over. He was often lethargic, which struck her as odd for a professional athlete, and frequently complained of headaches. Yeah. I watched him change really rapidly. He was scary. His drinking became more extreme and his behavior more erratic. He married a second time, but only lasted a year. He got charged with aggravated domestic assault in 2008. Yeah, just you hear all this stuff. His son, Braden, now 22, was devastated when he missed his high school graduation. Yeah. It's terrible. Terrible. Yeah. His daughter recalled texting her father on December 23rd, 2020, his 44th birthday. She had not seen him close to a year, she said. And as she prepared to head off to a college in California to study dance, she said she felt compelled to break the ice. She said, I remember the day so specifically. I was at work and I just thought it was time I reach out to him. I hadn't talked to him in a while. I sent him a text saying, hope you're doing well. He called me back and I didn't get the answer. And he died 2 days later. Ken Belson for the article. Oof. Saw that. I was like, it's terrible. It's just, it's terrible. You hear this stuff and I just was like, the culmination of a career for Demaryius Thomas, and he couldn't even enjoy it because he had a headache from the game, which ended up later, he had CTE, but seizures and all that stuff, car accident. You don't think that the car accident had the seizure? It wasn't related. Something had to be related. And all the hits and everything he took. If I would have played football, it would have been bad. The rest of my life, very bad. Very bad. I would have played with reckless abandon. I just couldn't imagine what I would have had. Concussions are us. And I would have kept playing. I would have told the coaches, all that stuff. I would have played through the pain, all that stuff. Yeah, and I never played. I look back, that was the biggest regret of my life. You know, after I read these kind of stories, I got off lucky. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oof. Yeah, that's terrible. Just terrible. Yeah, terrible. And this is let's switch to some happier news. Mike Greer is going to be named the first black GM in the history, 100 years of NHL hockey, for the San Jose Sharks. His brother, Chris Greer, is the GM of the Dolphins. That's going to be announced couple hours, if I think 2 o'clock our time. 47 years old. He played 14 seasons in the NHL for four teams, including the Sharks. Retired in 2011. Last season, he was the Rangers hockey operations advisor. Also worked as a scout for the Blackhawks from 2014-2018. He will replace Sharks interim GM Joe Will, who took over last November when longtime GM Doug Wilson left the team because of medical reasons. They'll name him GM 4 days after firing head coach Bob Bowner and his staff. So I guess I don't know who's going to bring it going forward, but we'll see. They have a veteran core of players with various levels of trade protection for the contracts. It's paying defensemen Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, and Mark-Edouard Vlasic, all over the age of 32, a combined $26.5 million against the salary cap this year, which means it's only $82.5 million, so it doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room for the rest of the team. But props to that. I thought that was a great. I like that. I like that move. So the Steelers likely won't pay Deontay Johnson anywhere near what some wide receivers are getting paid this offseason, says Mark Cabali. All right, so I guess he's not going to get paid big money, but we'll see what happens going forward. And this can't be good. Pac-12, Joe Klatt said that the future looks bright for football. It doesn't look bright for the Big 12, for the Pac-12. Big 12 is in deep discussions to add six teams to their conference per Dennis Dodd, CBS, Arizona, big S, Arizona State, Colorado, it's going to affect someone we know, Oregon, Utah, and Washington, the dub. Pac-12, no more. I guess then they'll just dissolve the league. I mean, they're going to play this year, and the next year it's not going to be a team anymore. And Gumbashev was asking me how much they get paid for winning the hot dog eating contest. $10,000. Total prize, $40,000. Joey Chestnut, 63 hot dogs, but forget that. Some guy in the middle with a Darth Vader mask and holding a sign that read "Exposed Smithfield Death Star," because Smithfield Foods is a company exposed for animal cruelty. They're the Nathan's Pork supplier for animal cruelty, work abuse, and pollution. So this guy, you can do whatever you want, but these dipshits coming out, chaining themselves to basketball courts. This skinny kid, I thought Chestnut snapped his neck. The way he grabbed him, headlocked, threw him down, and proceeded to keep eating hot dogs. He says he feels like crap. Feels like, you know, an athlete after a match. He's a little bloated and everything right now. And I was like, damn, man. I was like, holy crap. I thought he broke his neck. He ate 63. His record is 76. And Pseudo 840, she just come back from a pregnancy. She had set the record of 48.5 back in 2020. So they both didn't hit their numbers, but they still won. She was pregnant last year, so. But I was like 63, and Jeffrey Esper had 47.5. And then her husband, Pseudo's husband, Nicholas Weary, ate 40. Can you imagine eating 10 hot dogs in 10 minutes? That's a lot of hot dogs, folks. That is a lot of hot dogs. That's a lot of, I mean, that's like, oh, the thought of that makes me nauseous. 63 hot dogs, and then this kid comes on and all this stuff, and you're like, and my cousin Teddy goes, you're going to talk about this today? I'll talk about it. So I did, and we have that. And I thought this was interesting from Howard Bryant. He said, people always ask me why I like tennis, and I tell them that tennis and baseball are my two favorite sports because you have to finish. You must win the final point, record the final out, no running out the clock, finish your job or lose. And John McEnroe on Nick Kyrgios, who's being allegedly charged with domestic violence against an ex-girlfriend, he said after the Wild Woman of the match against Tsitsipas, he said, he's got to create this drama. So much of this is what is unnecessary. I sound like I am talking about myself. He won yesterday to get into the quarterfinals, which he hadn't done since his first time at Wimbledon. And I was looking to see, I know there was a bunch of matches today, and I think, yeah, Jabeur is tied a set with Buzkova, and I'm trying to see here. Yeah, Djokovic lost the first two sets to this guy Sinner from Italy and won the last three to get into the quarterfinals. Yeah. I was like, oh, because that's what they said. I lost the first two sets, came back and won the last three, 6-3, 6-2, 6-2. Nadal won yesterday. He's in the quarterfinals. Djokovic just get this done, going for another win. And Brittany Griner sent a letter to Joe Biden, says, I miss my wife, I miss my family, I miss my teammates. It kills me to know they are suffering so much right now. I'm grateful for whatever you can do to get this, to do at this moment to get me home. As I sit here in a Russian prison alone with my thoughts and without the protection of my, you know, my wife, my family, friends, Olympic jersey, or any accomplishments, I'm terrified I might be here forever. She goes, the 4th of July, our family normally honors the service of those who fought for our freedom, including my father, who is a vet. It hurts thinking about how I usually celebrate this day because freedom means something completely different to me this year. Yeah, so she wants to get home. Yeah, that says the president's a regular contact. I guess we'll see. This is going to take a long time. Russia is in no rush to get this done. And Yankees did not play on Memorial Day or 4th of July this year. The Mets haven't had a home game on the 4th of July since at least 5 years. I think it was 2016 I saw. Yankees play in Pittsburgh tonight, which Clay Holmes comes in with one earned run over his last 36 and a third in 35 appearances, 0.25 ERA. Jameson Taillon is 9-0 with a 3.30 ERA in 14 starts since he lost to Toronto 3-0 on April 11th in his first outing this season. He starts the series opener against Pittsburgh. They selected him with the second pick overall in the 2010 draft. He was 29-24 in four seasons with the Pirates. Yeah, he's done quite well. He'll face Pittsburgh for the first time. And Jose Quintana starts for the Pirates. He's 1-4. And yeah, I agree with the DJ LeMahieu. He said, it's weird not playing on the 4th. It feels like we should be playing. We're supposed to be playing on the 4th of July. But they had played 20 games in 20 days. Chapman didn't pitch Sunday, but he did walk all three batters he faced on Saturday. Yeah. I think Loaisiga is close to beginning a rehab assignment. He's been out since May 23rd with right shoulder impingement. They took 2-3 against the Guardians. Last time they swept them in Cleveland was 2007. Back then, the winning pitchers were Hughes, Mussina, and Pettit. And really sucks. What did I see here that Ron Marinaccio is on the IL with shoulder inflammation. 15.1 scoreless innings on it. That's going to hurt them. Matt Carpenter, unbelievable. Two home runs. He hit one off the Ernie Clement on Saturday, but eight home runs this season, which is unbelievable. And Miguel Andujar hit the ball hard four times after getting called up. He's been great in AAA. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Jose Trevino hit a back-to-back with him. I mean, it's just crazy how they're playing. I mean, it's just 58-22. It's crazy. Mets won yesterday, 7-4. Taiwan Walker improved to 7-2. Lugo got his third save. They're 50-30. Lindor hit his 13th home run. Dom Smith is heating up. I like that he's playing again. And Walker has a 2.59 ERA over nine starts, while Max Scherzer was on the injured list. Nimmo got his sixth home run of the day. And their 7-4 win is the 36th 7-4 win on July 4th in MLB history. First is 2018 when the Reds and Angels each did it. Second for the Mets, also done in 1990. Thank you, Sarah Lang. So the think about it, 7-4, it's the seventh, 7-4. Yeah. And Scherzer's pitching tonight. Hasn't pitched since May 18th. He turns 38 in 3 weeks. He's 5-1 with a 2.54 ERA. Made a pair of starts in AA on June 21st, 29th. Allowed four runs, seven hits, and eight innings with 14 strikeouts and two walks. And while he was down there, he got a meal of like steak, filet mignon, lobster. He spent like $7,000 and he got earbuds for everybody. And he gave the credit to his wife, Erica. He said the one who gave him she gives the credit, spent almost $7,000. Don't have to do stuff like that, but a lot of major leaguers, they come up, when they come down, they take care of all the players. I thought, and DeGrom went over 100 miles per hour the other day. He has struck out 5 or 6 batters and threw 18 to 24 pitches for strikes for Class A St. Lucie the other day, which is awesome. And he'll be back, they think, by late July, early August. So if they can get the two of them back, David Peterson's going to, he was on paternity leave. He's going to come back, pitch Wednesday. Trevor Williams will go Thursday versus the Marlins. Trevor Jankowski is starting a rehab assignment at AAA Syracuse Monday. Yesterday he started. Good for them. Chris Bassett has a long shot to be healthy by when they're home Thursday, when they're home at the end of the week for Miami. Yeah, DeGrom hit 100 on Sunday. Yeah, crazy. Yeah, playing some good ball. 50 and 30. The Yankees last year, 82 games, 41 and 41. This year, 58 and 22. Big jump. And the Astros, on a seven-game win streak, they struck out. They swept the, yeah, they did strike out. The Angels, over the weekend, the Angels struck out 47 times, 20 times on Sunday. The Angels, after starting 27 and 17, are 10 and 27, and the free fall continues. And Scott sent me all this stuff on how well Ohtani's playing. I'm like, I mean, it's cool and all, but the team is terrible. They're 10 and 27. You have Ohtani and, you know, and Trout over the weekend struck out 1.7 straight times in the first two games, went 0 for 11 in the series with 9 strikeouts. Yeah. Pena hit walk-off on Sunday for the Astros, 11 of the season. And yesterday, Alvarez hit his 24th hit a walk-off, and they won yesterday, too. Which, yeah, they won 7-6 over Kansas City. They were down 5-1, 6 during the 8th, and they're 52-27, the Astros, with only a couple games behind the Yanks, and Casey fell to 29-49. And tonight, Sandy Alcantara is going to go against Mike Trout and the Angels of Miami. He's 8-3 with a 1.95 ERA. Has pitched at least 7 innings in each of his last 10 starts. He's 6-1 in that span and has allowed just 3 home runs. He had a complete game 117 pitch performance against the Cardinals in his last outing. When Mattingly came out, he goes, go back in, got the double play, ended the game. Oh, and yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Trout 0-11, 9 strikeouts in the sweep. He's hitless in his last 14 at-bats overall. Going to be a rough series right there. Yeah, Astros are hot. Cardinals, I was watching some of the Cardinals, but Saturday, the starting battery for the Cardinals, Matthew Liberatore, 22 years old, and Ivan Herrera, combined age of 44 years, 269 days. The last time the Cardinals had a starting battery under a combined 45 years was 1971. Ted Simmons and Jerry Royce, Reggie Cleveland. That was Saturday. They've had much older play. Well, you had Molina, who's been there forever. And yesterday, Julio Rodriguez, first player since at least 1900 with 15-plus home runs and 20-plus stolen bases in his first 81 career games. They said the players with those stats in any 81-game span at age 21 or younger is Rodriguez, Ronald Acuna Jr., Mike Trout, Andrew Jones, and Cesar Cedeño. And this was Julio's first 81 games played ever. Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. And he's also... So he has 15 home runs, 43 RBIs, 277 batting average. They were blowing out the Padres 7-0 when I shut it off. Yeah, unbelievable. He's having a season to begin. Yeah, he's the... On Saturday, 10-plus home runs, 20-plus stolen bases before the All-Star break in his first season. Mitchell Page, 77 with Oakland, and Chris Sabo, 88 with Cincinnati, and now Julio Rodriguez. And Matthew Batten for the Padres yesterday... went as a pitch hitter, first major league hit. When he arrived, he thought he was on the taxi squad. Bob Melvin asked him if he ever played in big league ballpark. And he said, once, in exhibition with the Mariners. He said, suit up, you're about to experience it again. You're on the team. It's pretty awesome. And then he got a hit as a pinch hitter, first game. And Tigers swept the Guardians yesterday in a doubleheader. And Jonathan Schoop, at one point, who was hitting under 200, 3-for-24 skid. That's what's great about baseball. You just keep playing. 6 straight hits at one point, scored 3 times and knocked in 1. 4 hits in game 1. They are 32-47. Cleveland fell to 40-38. Miguel Cabrera for the Tigers, 3,061 career hit. He's now passed Craig Biggio, 25th on the MLB's all-time hit list. And the Twins at the White Sox, Buxton hit his 22nd home run. He also caught a ball in center field and started a triple play, which hadn't happened in forever. And he has 49 home runs since his last grounded in a double play, are the most home runs between grounded between double plays grounded into, since double plays were officially tracked for batters in both leagues 1940. Thank you, Elias Sports. He's been on fire. So he had a home run and he started a triple play yesterday. His 22nd. Crazy. Yeah, from center field. Threw it and then they doubled some guys off. Yeah, I don't know. How do you not pay attention to that stuff? Guys, pay attention. So Michigan always says to me, pay attention. Nets signed TJ Warren. He's played 4 games in the last 2 years. He dominated the bubble down in 2019-2020. Dropped 53 in his first game of the bubble when they beat the Sixers. Now, he can play. If he's healthy, he's going to play. But, yeah, unbelievable. So he's on a five. He's in the last year of he finished a 4-year, $50 million contract. He's on a 1-year deal with them. So we'll see what happens. They said that for Durant, they're seeking an all-star player and several first-round draft picks. I mean, Gobert got 4 first-round draft picks. I mean, how many can get for Durant? Durant and Gobert are not in the same sentence. And interesting, I saw this from Wojciechowski. July 4, 2016, Kevin Durant's decision has largely brought the rest of free agency to a stop. Most are waiting on his choice to proceed. Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to do a Kyrie and Russ package. We'll see how that's worked. And I love this stat. Someone posted this. I saw this one. Irving and Durant combined this regular season for 81.1 points per game when they're both in the court. The next closest duo was 73.4. The 81.1 points was the highest of any other teammate duo since the NBA started keeping track of these numbers in the 2007-08 season. You know how many games they played together, Kyrie and KD, last season? 17. So you're telling me that this stat that they have, that's the best teammate duo points per game averaging, you know, regular season for 81.1 points per game. You're saying they did that over 17 games. The season is 82. It's not even, we're talking a 20% of the season we're talking of that they played together. 20. It's ridiculous. And the Knicks ended the Charlie Ward curse because Mitchell Robinson is the first Knicks draft pick to get a second contract with the team since 94. 94! 28 years, folks. That's ridiculous. Unbelievable. And with Payton the second, with the, they said that Payton was offered by Golden State a taxpayer mid-level exception for 2 years starting at $6.4 million, where Portland gave him a player option. And Otto Porter went to Toronto, and Nemanja Jelica decided to play for the Turkish champion Fenerbahce. So that's a tough 12 hours, though Kevin Looney did sign a contract. And Kevin Knox the second is getting a 2-year deal with the Pistons. Maybe he'll do something there. It's 2 years and $6 million is guaranteed, and we'll see it. Yeah, former number 9 pick out of Kentucky 2018 by the Knicks. Averaged 7.7 points, 37% shooting, and 3 rebounds over 19 minutes over a 4-year career in 212 games, 61 starts. He's 34% from 3. It could be, you could consider this a reclamation project. Will he ever, I mean, he's still young, folks. He was 18 or 19. I mean, what is he, 22 right now? I mean, he's young. Yeah, he's 22. He'll be 23 next month. He's still 23 years old. Still maybe they can do something there. Darius Garland got the biggest contract ever with the Cavs. 5 years, $193 million. Could it be 231 if he makes an All-NBA roster or wins the league MVP next season? Averaged 22 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds, 36 minutes a game, 46% from the field, 38 from 3, and 89 from the line. Guy can play. And the 2 play-in losses, he averaged 28 points per game with the loss to the Nets and the Hawks. Number 5 pick in 2019 draft. Finished 3rd in the most improved player voting this past season behind Ja Morant and the new Hawk player, Dejounte Murray. Good for him. They signed Ricky Rubio. They draft Agbaji from the NCAA champion Kansas. They're going to be a good team. And I saw that the player of the month in the WNBA was Ionescu for the Liberty, averaged 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. But they lost to the Sparks on Saturday, 84-74. And Sparks head coach Fred Williams' 135th head coaching win, surpassing Pokey Chapman and Richie Adubatu for 11th most coaching wins in WNBA history. Ionescu had 14 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 10th straight game with 5-plus assists, but they had 17-plus turnovers after 9 straight of less than 15, so they did not have a good... They're 8-12. Sparks improved to 9-11. Liz Cambage had 16 points, 8 rebounds, and Neku Ogwumike had 22 to lead the Sparks. And the Giants, I saw this, so I was, you know, it's about the line, and saw Harris yesterday, he had a great time in Greece, in Mykonos, and he has to run through the tackles, and the Giants only 5-7 when he rushes for Barkley, rushes for 100 yards, and 2-5 when he has more than 70 yards receiving. Last season, 3.7 yards per carry. He's missed 22 total games over the last 3 seasons. Then they said, how much does a great running back impact winning? Of the 12 teams paying the highest salaries to running backs in 2021, only 3 made the playoffs. And since 2009, the average salary of the leading rusher on the winning Super Bowl team is only $1.09 million, according to CBS Sports. Yikes. $1.09 million for the leading rusher of the winning Super Bowl team. So it's not about paying that you got. And that sucks for running backs. It really does, because that's a short career. And you want to get paid while you're playing. And Barkley got paid, but he's not going to get a huge second contract, especially missing all those games. He's going to be hoping that he gets re-signed for something, but he'll never see that money he made when he got picked second in the draft. But we'll see. You know, hopefully he'll have a better year. Hank Goldberg, he died yesterday at 82. He was an NFL reporter and handicap expert for 17 years. Hammer and Hank. He was 500 or better in 15 of his 17 NFL seasons while predicting games at ESPN. He was a longtime fixture in Miami. He was a local radio and TV host for more than 25 years and worked as a Dolphins radio analyst. He began his career in the 70s as an assistant to handicapper Jimmy the Greek Snyder. Jimmy the Greek. I used to love Jimmy the Greek. I used to love Brett Musburger, him, and... it was Musburger, CBS, NFL football, 1970s. Herb Cross. Wait, who was it? God damn. It was Irv Cross. Irv Cross, Jane Kennedy, Brent Musburger, Jimmy the Greek Snyder. Yeah, that's who I remember. Irv Cross. That was great. Loved it. Grew up on it. Watched it all the time. Awesome. Must see. And the Bears are looking at a new stadium. But the most interesting thing I saw about that is that the team is reported looking into a proposal to house a new baseball league for undrafted college players on the same site. William Larson, former GM of the Kane County Cougars minor league team, has proposed a 4-team league, all of whom would initially play in a 4,000-seat stadium. He said that he hasn't heard if the Bears are interested in hosting the league. He estimated the league could draw 450,000 fans per year and would offer summer programming during the NFL's offseason. I think the NFL, well... USFL, I did. I watched some of the games Sunday night, and I did watch the... Who was it? It was this... Who was the USFL championship? Now I'm blanking, but thank God there were fans there. It was not a great... It was a back-and-forth game. I mean... Birmingham Stallions beat the... Who do they beat? Yeah. They beat the Philadelphia Stars, yeah. So, and then the quarterback for the, what's his name? The quarterback for the Stars, he got his knee bent out. He'd be taken off of the stretcher, and that sucked. I saw the Stars QB hurt. No, what the? I think that QB Cow. Yeah, wait, that's his name. Yeah, Case Kukas suffers a leg injury during the champ days before his wedding. Wow. Yeah, he went down and his knee went behind him. Yeah. Yeah, he left. He suffered a broken bone in his leg. The injury took place 11 days before his wedding, which is set to take place July 14th. Yeah, he played a hell of a game. He had some great plays in the game. Yeah. I watched some of it. Yeah, listen, it's football. Not great football, but I watched some of the game. And Ray McDonough Angus says that's a better trade for Nashville. It was a salary cap decision. He used to be with the Rangers. He became Captain Rangers in 2014, won two straight championships. He has 4 years at $6.75 million left. Who was he traded for? He was traded for Felipe Myers and Grant Mismatch. Myers came to Nashville as part of a much talked about Ryan Ellis trade last July. He had 1 goal, 3 assists. Mismatch played 4 seasons at North Dakota, and he played in the minors. So McDonough had 4 goals, 22 assists, 26 points regular season, 1 goal, 4 assists, 5. But he was a guy in the locker room. He was a glue guy for them. And now he's going to go to the Predators. The Jets brought in Rick Bonus. I know he's 67. After they couldn't get Trotz, they said he wants to come. They think he'll be good. He's trying to keep players. Scheifele. He spoke to Scheifele already, who was a guy who could be going, but they said he's going to come in, and the age doesn't mean anything. He has the enthusiasm to work, and thank you, Kent Wiebe, for that one. And Angus, yeah, I forgot to ask Angus what he thought about that, but Michigan said that they hired him. I said, really? They got him? And I saw this, that from the Gist on Twitter, that Alexander and his wife, Nastya Ovechkin, were named minority investors in the National Women's Soccer League Western Union Spirit last year, but never cut a check. Given their agreement had a $13 million valuation, they missed out on a solid return. And last night, 2 goals for Alex Morgan. They beat Haiti 3-0. What was it? Wait, it was 3, I think 4-0. 21 goals, 21 qualifying appearances, goals in 5 straight qualifiers. They beat Haiti. They did win 3-0 yesterday. Took the first step for qualifying for the 2023 World Cup in Australia. They've now won 27 consecutive matches in CONCACAF tournaments dating back to 2010, outscoring opponents 139-0 in those matches. So no one scored against them. They play Jamaica on Thursday, and the video assistant referee VAR is now part of Women's World Cup qualifying. Came into play a couple times on Sunday, which included the overturn of a Haiti red card. And this is awesome. First time, a championship doubleheader at O2 Arena in London, September 10th, Saturday, when I will be seeing Texas hosting Alabama. The 2-time Olympic gold medalist Clarissa Shields, the WBC, WBA, IBF Ring and Magazine middleweight champ, aimed to once again become undisputed at 160 pounds by facing longtime rival and WBL title holder Savannah Marshall. They faced off in the amateurs when Marshall beat Shields by decision at the 2012 IBA Women's World Championships in China. So Shields went 77-1 as an amateur and is the only female boxer to win undisputed titles in 2 weight classes. And then Michaela Mayer will look to get one step closer to becoming the first undisputed champion of its division by putting her WBL IBF Ring Magazine Junior Lightweight titles on the line against WBC champion Alicia Baumgartner. A total of 7 world titles and 2 Ring Magazine belts will be on the line. They'll air live on Sky Sports in the UK and ESPN Plus in the US. Mayer's 17-0 with 5 KOs. She represented U.S. at the 2016 Rio Olympics. So we'll see what happens. Baumgartner's 12-1 with 7 KOs. She's from England. But how about that? 2 fights on the same card. I thought that was pretty awesome. Yeah, I love that. I did. I love to see that. I think that's great for sports. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, and Joe Klatt said it's incredibly hard to see right now, in particular if your team is outside SEC or Big Ten, but the long-term outlook for fans is a good one. We all look back on these times as the moves that shaped a better postseason, more quality non-conference games, and stronger governance. And Matt Engel said, odd an announcer from Fox Sports would say this. I wonder what Kirk Herbstreit would say. He wouldn't say anything. He's a robot. He doesn't say anything. And Tiger played in a pro-am in Ireland at a 77. He's resting his leg at the Open so he can play at St. Andrews at the British Open. So we'll see what happens right there. And, yeah, Big 12, I talked about that. Could be losing a lot of teams. And the Cowboys are marketing Black Rifle Coffee, a brand whose products include AK-47 Espresso Blend, Silencer Smooth Roast, and Murdered Out Coffee Roast as America's Coffee. Yeah, I read that. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. But it's coffee, and it's all about making money. And they, you know, after what happened, I could talk about what happened. Is there any place safe you could take your kids anymore? And this guy supposedly, allegedly dressed up as a woman. Did you see the picture of him? tattoo on his face. 22 years old. Uncle said never had a no violence of him. He's a quiet kid. They're always quiet. They're always quiet. Now he gets taken. He's taken without any shots fired. But a kid is a delivery driver, and I don't know why he was racing away from the cops. I don't know why he ran from the cops. But whatever happened, they said the taser didn't work, so they shot him 60 times. 60 times. I don't even know how to respond to that. I don't. 60 times, an unarmed kid, and this guy shoots all these people at a 4th of July white kid, and nothing. They just take him without any violence. I don't understand. Harden deal, they said, could be done in the next 24 hours with the Sixers. And Andrew Brent said, remember this line from former Packers GM Ron Wolf when thinking of this day, July 4th. When he offered me the job, I asked about the weather in Green Bay. He responded with a straight face, well, there's two seasons, winter and 4th of July. Yeah, that's like Syracuse. It's summertime is August. Winter is the rest of the year. And Jessica Campbell will be the first woman behind an ALH bench. She'll coach the Kraken's top minor league affiliate. So she'll is the top minor league affiliate, the Firebirds of the Kraken, will debut this fall. She's been assistant coach. She's worked with professional players before. She's worked in Germany. Yeah, there's assistant general managers. You have a video coordinator for the Caps in Emily Engel Natsky, Cami Granato, and Emily Castanguay for the Canucks, and Megan Hunter for the Blackhawks. All were named assistant GMs. Crazy. Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, but Cami Granato's with the Kraken. Yeah, Cami Granato's with the Kraken. I didn't want to get that wrong. Cami Granato is a... Yes. Oh, wait. She's an assistant general manager for the Canucks. So how do you have two assistant general managers for the Canucks? Yeah, I wish I understood more. But I thought she was with the... Yeah. Emily Castanguay. So who is Emily? She's a former sports agent. She is now assistant GM for the Canucks. So they have two women that are assistant GMs with the same team. Okay. Congrats. Found out I can get a deal with my union cards for equity and SAG. Good for me. The Lakers are desperate to move Russell Westbrook for Kyrie Irving, but are hesitant to send multiple draft picks to the Nets because... Yeah, that's also. And I saw this on Vice News. A police department just outside of Detroit uses images of black men in hoodies and black backward caps holding guns as shooting practice targets, a group of Boy Scouts discovered while on a tour. I thought that was out of control. And I was like, huh. Wow. And the 853 triple play was the first triple play since 2010. Since May 2010 with Buxton last night. That was, and I did not like the Mets, the 4th of July caps. They were hideous. Yeah. I thought they were hideous. But they always are. I think it's too much going on right there. Yeah, and I found out a lot of foods I'm eating are not good for me. Sweet potatoes and other stuff. And David Price, here's a guy who made all this money, and he's telling that the younger guys, that Mike White needs to pitch in the major leagues, triple A's and anything. He needs to be in the big leagues pitching. He got to be good for that. I thought that was the classy thing for him to say. Yeah, Astros, Alvarez is having a phenomenal season. Crazy. Cryos again. The Orioles won on a hit-by-pitch. Yeah, 1 year ago they were 41-41 after they lost the doubleheader, the first game doubleheader to the Mets. 41-41, 58-22 this year. Yeah, Chestnut, total. I mean, he grabbed that kid and was like, bam. Yeah, Nadal's is going to be against Fritz in the quarterfinal. Taylor Fritz is the last American in the quarterfinals. Joey Chestnut, good for you. And the Club is appealing a fine levied by WTA Women's Professional Tour. The fines totaling $1 million were first reported by the Daily Mail and ESPN. They kept out the players from Russia and Belarus. Yeah. Yeah. They're not playing well. Angels are playing terrible. Now, I thought this was interesting by Jeannie Buss. I miss Kobe Bryant. He would understand and explain everything that I'm not allowed to. Honestly, he was the greatest Laker ever. He understood team over self, meaning your rewards would come if you value team goals over your own, then everything would fall into place. All can reply. And I was thinking, at the end of the career, he was making over $30-something million a year. How was him, you know, being there for the team? And I've known that he was a tough teammate, and he did... He was tough to play with. He was nasty to other teammates. I know he won a bunch of championships, but not the best guy to play with. He couldn't play with Shaq, and they blew up something that won 3 straight championships. Who knows how many more they could have won together. They definitely would have won more than 3. And, yeah, I didn't think he was the consummate team player. And at the end, you know, at the end of his career, hoisting all those shots when younger guys could be playing, nah, I don't agree with that one. Yeah. And U.S. men beat Honduras. They are going to their first Olympics in 2008. Congratulations to them. Yeah. They won their 3rd straight CONCACAF Under 20 championship. I told Michigan I want the Oculus Quest, that VR thing you wear in your head. And Chandler Parsons says about playing for the Mavs, best player with Luka, best owner, best city, no tax. I guess that's something. Yeah, we'll see what happens to KD and D. Sclafani for the Giants will undergo ankle surgery next week and miss 4 to 5 months. He's done for the rest of the season. I found a picture of myself. Oof, not a great picture of me. 40th birthday, 13 years ago. Bullocks. I look terrible. And Tyler Reddick was the 5th different first-time winner in NASCAR this season. Congratulations to you. Yeah, I was showing Lenker that I was watching Birmingham, Philadelphia. Yeah, Case Kukas. Yeah, that was crazy. Lynx are going to retire Rebecca Brunson's jersey, number 32 jersey, 5-time WNBA champ. I guess the Kings are pumped about the future. The Grom throwing gas, 100 miles an hour. Yeah, Angels suck. 47 strikeouts over the weekend against the, yeah, no bueno. Yeah. 47, yeah, not a great season. And Manny Banuelos, it was traded to the Pirates for cash considerations on Sunday, and he'll be pitching against them. Just they couldn't. And Goran Dragic signs with the Bulls, former Net. Bonus got the job. Oh, and we watched the UFC 276. Israel Adesanya is a great, great, great player. Great, great fighter, but he's so good defensively that the fight against Cannonier was snoozeville. And Holloway, Holloway couldn't get close to him, and his face was destroyed. Destroyed. Got his ass kicked. Yeah, big time. And Riley Green on Saturday hit a walk-off home run. First home run, walk-off. The first to do so since Lou Whitaker in 78 per ESPN's Stats and Info. They said he's a lot of energy in the team right now, which is great. Yeah, they had 4 consecutive home runs on over the weekend, the Cardinals. Yeah, Julio Rodriguez. Oh, and there's my girl, Michigan. Michigan, join the house. Yeah, and I couldn't rec... Oof. How about Joe Thornton? Yikes. At the fights. Joe, fix up that beard, man. And Donald Cerrone lost to Jim Miller, second round guillotine choke on Saturday. 39, began his career in 2005. He fought at lightweight, welterweight, 54 total fights, 36 victories, 10 by KO, second most wins in UFC history with 23. Never won a UFC title, but wow. Yeah, sometimes it's time to go. Yeah, it's time to go sometimes. Let me see, did I miss anything else? And Jim Miller becomes UFC all-time wins leader and first to fight 40 times after second-round win over Donald Cerrone. Yeah, that's a lot of fights, man. That is a lot of fights. Yeah, Darius Garland, after getting that 5-year, $193 million deal, said, from worst player to big money. And Leandre Barbosa, the former Warrior, will become an assistant coach with the Kings, Mike Brown, under Mike Brown. And they think J.K. Dobbins will not play during the preseason for the Ravens because of torn ACL last season. And Jessica I retires, flyweight, calls a career after 16 fights in the UFC. Yeah, I mean, you get to a point you can't do this anymore. You can't do it anymore, and you have to... Okay, did I miss anything? I want to see if I miss anything. So top JUCO wide receiver Malik Benson picks the Tide over Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, and Oregon. The rich get richer. Josh Winder will start in place of Chris Archer, who is out for an undisclosed reason. Yeah. I guess that's all I missed. And we'll see what happens with the Pac-12. And Adesanya definitely interested in WWE after his Undertaker entrance. He said he would try it. Okay, good for you. I hope it works out. Now, Chris Archer is playing for the... Who is Chris Archer playing for? Oh, for the Twins. Okay. And Ronald Acuna Jr. back in lineup. He missed four games, but that's 4 days ago. Yeah. And he's going to the All-Star game. All right. Let me get to some trivia questions. Realize I talk forever on this show sometimes. Yeah. Let me see. Okay. All right. Last show trivia question was... Most hits by a Yankee in a single season. Donnie Baseball hit 238 in 1986. Today's trivia question, who hit the most home runs all time on July 4th? What Major League Baseball player has hit the most home runs on July 4th? All right, send my love to Michigan. We had a wonderful weekend. We saw Bear. Bear's a character. Send my love to my parents, Daba. Harris was great seeing you yesterday. Bill, I know he's back from Aruba. I'll have to talk to him in the near future. Hal always cracks me up. Bumbles. Hope everybody great. Gumbo Chef, great workout today. Rhonda, LG. RK has not been anywhere. I've not seen him in a while. Hope everybody's doing well. Everybody have a great weekend. I will talk to you soon. Oh, and E, congrats on your wedding on Friday. And Harris is going to be your best man. It's going to be awesome. So everybody have a great day. Peace out. And Gumbo Chef, thanks for the stuff on CTE, the first MLS player testing positive for that. I mean, that just, oof, that's some tough stuff. And Chestnut, that was pretty vicious. I'll tell you, took that guy down. I do not like the people who, you know, try to choke people out. And Carmen Electra is on OnlyFans at 50. It's been empowering. I'm my own boss. Whatever. I have nothing to say on that one. All right, peace out, folks. Have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. Adios.